You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey, everybody, it's Dan, and welcome to our Thursday edition of the Orange and Brown Talk podcast. Today, Mary Kay Cabot, Scott Patzko, Ashley Bastock, and I talk about potential schedule storylines as the schedule will be released on Thursday night. So we each go through some storylines that we are going to watch once the schedule comes out and as we look ahead to the Browns' full season, which we're going to find out where they're going. We know who they're playing. We're going to find out where they're going on Thursday night. Okay, I got to tell you about Football Insider, because we will, of course, let people know about the schedule when it comes out and share our thoughts on the schedule via text. And if you want to get involved in that, you got to go to cleveland.com/browns, click the blue banner at the top of the page, get info, and get signed up. And it's not just texting. It's a newsletter delivered to your inbox every single day. I'm actually going to be writing Friday's newsletter, so you'll get a chance to get that. And you get access to exclusive stories on cleveland.com/browns. So again, go to cleveland.com/browns, click the blue banner at the top of the page, get info, and get signed up. All right, here we go. Schedule storylines on the Thursday Orange and Brown Talk podcast. Here we go on our Thursday edition of the Orange and Brown Talk podcast. It is schedule release day, and we're going to look for some storylines on the Cleveland Browns schedule. Scott, you're first up. Give us a storyline on the Cleveland Browns schedule this season.
All right, so I'm really interested in seeing where these games land, because that will determine, I guess, the impact they have. The fact that the Browns play the Falcons, the Saints, and the Texans this year is something, considering that, well, obviously the Texans, where Deshaun Watson was originally, but then you have the other teams that the Browns were up against in trying to get Deshaun Watson, the Panthers. So, wait, were the Panthers in there?
Yeah,
the Panthers, the Saints, and the Falcons. And the fact that they play all of them. Now, if that, you know, they land towards the end of the schedule, I think, you know, there's a good opportunity that Deshaun Watson could be on the field. We don't know if or when a suspension is coming, but you would expect that if those games land on the second half of the schedule, that could be kind of interesting. Maybe not from a, I think it's just from a, here's what you wanted and here's what the Browns got versus what they're left with, you know, after the fact. These, some of these teams had to go out and kind of get what was left over. And obviously they're in the Panthers, you add in the whole Baker Mayfield saga. So just those three teams and just everybody kind of being involved in this off season storyline that has gone on since Deshaun Watson was traded for. The fact that they're all on the Browns schedule this year is, I think it's really interesting to me.
Yeah. The teams that Deshaun didn't choose, the mm-hmm. ones that didn't want to pay Deshaun $230 million guaranteed. Yeah. That's kind of an underrated one, I think. That wasn't one that popped to the front of my mind, but you are right. Like all the teams that were in the sweepstakes, Mary Kay, they are on the Browns schedule. They're going to have to go against the guy they couldn't land.
Yeah, absolutely. It was number one on my list of things to look at for this as well. So fortunately I came up with about two or three different ones, but I had that down too, because you know, all these teams, I mean, there really was a tremendous ripple effect on what is happening with them. They had to go out. The Saints had to go out and re-sign Jameis Winston. The Falcons went out and signed Marcus Mariota. The Panthers have talked trade with the Browns. And of course, you can throw the Texans in the mix there, because the Texans obviously are at the heart and center of this with trading Deshaun Watson to the Cleveland Browns, getting
The Texans might be separate though. Maybe we should save the Texans.
Okay. We can save the Texans. But yeah, so this is pretty cool. The three teams that lost out on Deshaun Watson, all on the schedule. And I'm sure we will be chronicling all of it for you as those games draw near.
And Ashley, I'm curious to kind of hear as we lead up to those games, like these guys are going to get asked, right? Like these head coaches, hey, you know, you could have had Deshaun Watson. It didn't happen. How different could it have been? I don't know if we'll get any good answers, but it is going to be a topic for these teams as we kind of wind towards these games.
Yeah, and it's interesting, and I think it makes for interesting discussions and fodder, but it's almost like, and I know you guys talked about this yesterday when you drafted the schedule, like, I almost think in a lot of ways, like, maybe the league and the other teams, like, aren't going to want to acknowledge this. So it's like kind of this like big elephant in the room type of thing. And obviously so much will hinge on a suspension, if it comes, when it comes, where those games are in the schedule. But I do think like there is going to be this element of, it's almost going to be taboo to talk about a little bit, like, from the teams themselves or the higher ups. Like, I don't think we're going to get very many good answers, but like, it's good fodder for podcasts like ours, talk radio columns, things like that.
I'm sure there's fans of those other teams that are going to be thinking about what could have been, you know.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a lot of people who are happy that they didn't land him, but there's going to be a segment of their fan base that is comparing, you know, their guy to Deshaun Watson throughout the season. And then, you know, this will be the game when you see him up close and against your team.
Yeah. And, you know, and again, there might be, you know, those storylines might get more interesting as we get closer, because I mean, if Baker Mayfield is playing and starting for the Panthers, then obviously that's enormous. I don't know if that's going to happen. I wrote a column saying that they should go back to the Panthers and try to make that trade. I don't think it's completely 100% dead in the water, although I do have people that tell me that I'm wrong about that. So we will see. But, you know, that would really ratchet it up a ton.
Yeah, Baker needs to end up with the Panthers. That's just what has to happen. It's perfect on so many levels.
Can't you just see him like with the Panthers? Like, I can just picture it. I can't really picture him anywhere else right now. Like, I can just picture him there.
I'm sure the Browns are happy that that's only going to be a road game if that happens. They don't want him coming back starting for somebody at First Energy. They don't need that.
And it's kind of like it looks weird enough, like, oh, Baker in a Panthers uniform. It just feels like it'll be sort of a footnote in Baker's career wherever it goes from. It's perfect. It's like the perfect place for Baker to land on his fifth year option and then go from there. Okay. Mary Kay, give us our next storyline.
Okay. Well, since we are going to be separating out Deshaun Watson playing against the Texans, I will go ahead and take that one. I had another one here that I kind of liked too. But, you know, Deshaun Watson is the story of the Cleveland Browns right now. So I'm going to stick with that theme. And this will be Deshaun Watson going back and playing his former team, the Texans. And that game is on the road. So it'll have, you know, a little bit less of a little bit less of a punch than if it was here, perhaps. But I still think him going back there will be a lot of emotion. There will be signs, it will be emotional for him. And then on top of that, you know, this is just a story that's going to keep giving and giving and giving, because the Browns obviously surrendered 6 draft picks to get Deshaun Watson. And this goes out like in perpetuity, like forever. They have never have any more first round draft picks in the history of the franchise. Well, actually for the next 3 years, but that's a long time. So that, and then, you know, the other 3 picks that they gave up, and they got back Deshaun and a 6th round pick. On top of that, they went back and did more business on draft day this year with the Texans, since they've got such a warm and fuzzy relationship between the two clubs now. So they went back, traded down from number 44. That's where the Texans picked up John Mechie, the wide receiver that the Browns would have taken at number 44 had they stayed there. So if John Mechie, now chances are, if the game is early on in the season, probably not going to see John Mechie. But if the game is in December, you know, maybe he catches the game winning touchdown. You never know. So, you know, so that adds something to it. And then the Browns, you know, ended up with a couple of extra 4th round picks, moved down to 68. They got Emerson, they got Winfrey, they got York. So all kinds of storylines in this Texans versus Brown games, not the least of which, of course, is Deshaun Watson playing his former team.
I think the fact that it's in Houston actually makes it even more interesting, because there will be that like fan reaction. And I'm curious to see how fans respond, because it's such a weird, like it's just weird, right? With everything that's happened, but Deshaun requested the trade and then he sat out the year, but it's not like the Texans drafted his replacement or like, you know, pushed him out the door necessarily. Obviously he wasn't happy with some of the things they did there to request that trade. But I'm very curious to see kind of what the environment is like there in Houston for him. Maybe it's welcoming. I don't know. Probably the civil suits and everything off the field changes that, but there might've been a world where like the Texans would have traded him and he wanted out, and fans would have been so angry about how the Texans operated that they almost welcomed him back with open arms. I'm just curious I don't know how Texans fans feel about Deshaun right now.
I'm sure it's mixed. I'm sure it's a mixed bag of emotions in the same way that is for Cleveland Browns fans. But I do agree with you, Dan. I think it does. I initially said it might not pack as much of a wallet, but I think it actually is a bigger deal for him to go home to the Houston Texans, where he was drafted. And I mean, the storyline goes all the way back to 2017, really, obviously, because in 2017, that's when the Cleveland Browns traded down away from Deshaun Watson, allowing the Texans to draft him and change the fortunes of their franchise. And it looked like they were really onto something tremendous with him in the early going, until everything kind of went downhill for them. So the storylines, it's just a tangled web that they weaved here between the Cleveland Browns and the Texans. And I agree with you. Going back there makes it bigger.
Scott, I feel like this should involve like Denzel Ward needs to make a play. Nick Chubb needs to run for like 150 yards. Yes. I mean, there are so many connections between these two teams, like in so many different ways that, I mean, this could just be the Browns Texans draft bonanza on top of Deshaun Watson returning to Houston for the first time.
Yeah. And if that ends up being an early season game and Deshaun Watson doesn't play, that's just going to like, just take all the buzz out of it. I think a lot of people want to see him go back to Texas. I think that's the one place that's going to be very similar to what it's like at First Energy this year. It's just going to be, I'm sure that we could probably do a gallery of photos every week from home games or probably anywhere of signs that are not very, that are pretty critical of him. And the fact they're critical of the Browns having him, I'm sure those are going to be out there. And I think the Texans might be the one place where maybe you'll see some that maybe kind of support him or maybe take digs at their team because they didn't try to play him last year. You know, it's going to be weird. I think you're right in saying it's going to be similar to what it's like here in Cleveland, everywhere else. You know, I'm sure they don't care. They're just out to, you know, doesn't matter if he's got civil suits against him or not. People are not going to cheer for Deshaun Watson at other places, but it's going to be a weird environment there. And don't forget, they have MJ Stewart too.
There you go.
Do they still have Christian Kirksey? I think they might.
That's a good question.
Ended him.
There was one point, I think it was last year or the year before, where they had like a dozen former Browns or something. It was ridiculous. They had Duke Johnson and the tight end whose name escapes me.
Darren Fells.
Yes. Yes. Terrence Mitchell, I think, went there. Yeah, they were just grabbing all the former Browns.
Well, Jadeveon Clowney used to play there, obviously. If he's back with the Browns, and I think he will be, if he's back, that's another storyline. I mean, just looking at all the different storylines, and of course, when Dan mentions Nick Chubb, for the people who forget what that was all about, it was the Brock Osweiler NBA-style salary dump trade in which the Browns ended up with the second-round pick and used it on Nick Chubb. So there's that. And Denzel came in with the number 4 overall pick in 2018. They would have never had a pick that high had Deshaun Watson not suffered a non-contact torn ACL. Everyone talks about how great that was. Well, if he had been healthy the entire season, there's no way that Denzel Ward is here. So in going through this particular storyline or this particular game. There's like 10 storylines here. And I think that it almost might require like Shark Week, Bark Week, like a pod of just a whole week full of Texans storyline pods. What do you guys think?
Sounds like somebody should do a story on all the connections between the Texans and the Browns.
I've found some deep cuts here, Ashley. You share your thoughts on this while I look through this Texans roster, because there are some names here that are going to bring back.
People
might not even remember that they were members of the Cleveland Browns, but we'll get to that after you kind of tell us what you think, Ashley.
I just think it's interesting because like there's all these storylines for a game that could just be like an absolute clunker when it comes down to it, right? Like there is a possibility that Deshaun Watson doesn't play, that Jacoby Brissett's going out there and starting. If it's early in the year, the Browns are still trying to get their stuff together. If it's like right after Deshaun Watson has come back from any hypothetical suspension, then they're still trying to get used to having a new quarterback out there. And obviously, just what the Texans have, it's like just not the most exciting game on the schedule, but all these connections kind of are making it seem like that. But this could just be like an abysmal game to actually have to sit and watch.
That is fair. Okay, here we go. Here are some names on the Houston Texans who will be out for revenge against the Cleveland Browns as I scroll through their roster here. We're going to start with Pharaoh Brown.
Yeah, good interview, Pharaoh Brown.
Also a local guy as well. Davion Davis. Remember the star of preseason last year?
Oh, my goodness.
Tay Davis, a special teamer for the Browns for a little while. Still going through. There are more, believe me, on this list that you're going to recognize. Kevin Hogan, who actually had
I can't believe he's still in the league.
Yeah, an infamous start in Houston. I think that was the 0-17 year. Andy Janovich is now a Houston Texan. Christian Kirksey is there. Of course, John Metchie, who Mary Kay, as you reported in your Insider, should have been a Cleveland Brown or was going to be a Cleveland Brown at number 44. Eric Murray.
Wow.
Let's see here.
There's a slot guy the Browns could use.
he was a good interview too. Speaking of good interviews, he was a guy. MJ Stewart, who we mentioned. Oh, here's one. Tavier Thomas.
Wow.
That's the slot guy the Browns do not need. Good on special teams though.
A Mike Prefer favorite, Tavier Thomas. No Money Mitch anymore. I don't remember where he signed. But I'm not gonna look it up either. We'll find that out as the season goes along. All right, Ashley, give us the storyline because we've devolved into me reading the Houston Texans roster.
What a great way to spend our podcasting time. No, you know what? I agree with Mary Kay in that I think with this schedule coming out, Deshaun Watson is the biggest aspect of any storyline that we are going to talk about. So mine in general is just, I think the second the schedule comes out, it's going to be a ton of speculation of what it means for the Browns if he's suspended, particularly earlier in the year. Like, I think people are really going to be dissecting like those six games and if they have an early division game and is the division stacked in the back, because it's all going to be people trying to glean information, I think, about what the suspension might look like for him, what it might mean for the Browns, and all sorts of things like that. Hypothetically, what it would mean if he's there versus not there and where that point in the season might come.
So Mary Kay, we talked about this on the Hey MK pod on Tuesday. And I think we agreed that it wouldn't necessarily indicate things, but Ashley's right. Like as soon as that schedule comes out, people are going to be looking, like digging through it with a fine tooth comb, trying to figure out, well, obviously they're going to suspend Deshaun Watson 11 games because look at the 11 games they put in the front. So, I mean, that's what's going to happen as soon as this thing gets out.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. There'll be so much speculation about this. Now, if that happens and you see some games that just don't have that marquee power in the beginning, I think that will be in part because they do backload these schedules to include most of your division games at the end now, which I really like that. I think it's very cool and fun to have every single one of those games means so much at the end of the season. So I expect to see more of that. But I do think that there will be a lot of talk, a lot of speculation about what that might mean. The hard part about this is that I don't know that anybody knows what this means right now. I mean, there's so little information coming out in terms of when the suspension will be handed down, how long the suspension will be. They're playing it very, very close to the vest. You know, we don't know if wrapping up the investigation is imminent. We don't know if they're calling Deshaun Watson to the league office, you know, in the next month and a half. I mean, we just haven't heard very much at all. And it's kind of hard to get any good insider info on any of this. But, you know, the other thing that I think that makes it hard is that it's not just the league office involved. They have the jointly appointed person, Sue L. Robinson, who will be helping to determine what kind of suspension Deshaun Watson is going to get. And there are so many gray areas after that. But since it's not just Roger Goodell sitting around waiting to determine when this is going to happen, it adds another whole layer to it. And certainly there will be plenty of speculation when that schedule comes out.
Scott, how much what kind of column can we expect from you about the Deshaun Watson pending suspension as soon as you get the schedule in your hands?
Geez. Look, if it's six games, I mean, they've been without key players for stretches before. Obviously, the quarterback's different. Man, I guess we're really going to like try to analyze how many games can the Browns win with Jacoby Brissett. Like, once we know what the schedule looks like and once we know how many games Watson's suspended for, then you're really finally able to drill down. All right, are these really winnable games with Jacoby Brissett? And of course, then you're assuming everything else is going to be as good as it is in week one, which we know is never the case. They told us over and over last season, you know, after week one, no one's healthy. So 5 weeks in, 4 weeks in, 5 weeks in, there's going to be injuries. People are going to be missing from the lineup. And is Jacoby Brissett the quarterback who can help the offense or the team overcome that?
Mary Kay, there's also, it just feels to me, just following along, there's a lot of smoke starting to build up about potentially 2023 being the year that there's a suspension, that these trials getting pushed back and probably nothing happening until after the season, that the NFL might let this play out. And if he clears those civil suits, there might be nothing. If there's something there, whether it comes out in the civil suits or there's a verdict against him, then maybe the suspension happens. It just feels like there's a lot of smoke right now building up towards that.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen all of that. I've heard all of that. But once again, it's hard to say. I actually think that they should really take their time, because you don't want to hand down a suspension or a fine or a combination of both, and then things start to come out in the civil suits, or some video that you didn't know existed comes out. You know, I mean, so many things can still happen. I don't think they should rush into it. I think they should talk to all 24 accusers and whoever else they need to, and Deshaun. And I don't know if they can get all of that done before the season starts. The season is barreling down upon us, and there's a lot of work to do yet in this investigation. The weird part about it, though, is that Roger Goodell basically said at the NFL annual meeting that he would not use the why am I forgetting the name of it right now? That he would not use the commissioner's exempt list on Deshaun Watson, which would essentially be sort of a paid leave of absence. Okay. You're just not playing, but you know, you're still getting paid and all that kind of stuff. So you know, that was interesting, but I suppose they could even change their mind on that. I would think that just because they don't expect to use that, if something came to light that lent itself to using that option, I think that they would probably go ahead and do it. So yeah, this is going to be the story that keeps on going on and going on probably into next season.
Yeah. I mean, it really only takes one big change, right? I mean, we saw it with the Ray Rice thing, the Ray Rice video. Mm-hmm. We saw it with Kareem Hunt, right? Like as soon as that video came out, all of a sudden Kareem Hunt was cut that same day. So these things can change very quickly if something comes out or if something happens unexpectedly. All of a sudden it can go from, well, nothing will happen till 2023 to, oh, this is happening right now. So who knows? But a lot of people will parse through that schedule. Probably shouldn't, but that's okay. All right, let's take a break. And then I've got one. And then Mary Kay, I know you said you had another one that you really liked. So I wanna hear that one too. So we'll get to those on the other side here. And back on the Orange and Brown Talk podcast. So for me, I guess mine is also Deshaun Watson related, as you would expect. But it's more about like who Deshaun Watson could potentially go against. So the Browns face some really like either just kind of meh or like really bad quarterback situations. But then on the flip side, they face Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, Tom Brady. They'll have Joe Burrow twice and Lamar Jackson twice. That's a pretty good group of quarterbacks that you've got to go against in those games. And I don't know if I'm forgetting anybody, but if we did the quarterback draft, or if we went back and listened to the quarterback draft that we did, all of those guys went pretty high. So I'm excited to see the Browns go against those guys, because the Browns, assuming Watson is playing, have a quarterback. And I actually think this is the first time, maybe since Bernie Kosar, that you could say this, the Browns have a quarterback that can actually like go toe to toe with these elite level quarterbacks and compete with them just game to game.
Yeah, it's funny, because when Baker was here, and the going was good, I think we talked about Baker like that, right? I mean, the discussion, the narrative was the Browns finally have a quarterback that can get them where they want to go. And if you surround him with all the right pieces and parts, he should be able to do that. But ultimately, they found out that that was not going to be the case. And now they do have him. And I mean, even just watching, you know, just watching some highlights and some, you know, film of Deshaun, I mean, it's just going to be a whole different ball game here in Cleveland, as long as he gets up to speed and acclimated to this new offense, to all of his new teammates. And I really do think that he can beat any one of those guys that you mentioned. You put him against Tom Brady, he's going to be able to, he can beat Tom Brady. He can beat Josh Allen. He can beat Herbert. He can beat Joe Burrow. Any of these guys, he can beat them. And that is exactly why the Cleveland Browns went out and took the risk of signing a player who has 22 civil suits against him and so much emotional baggage and so much legal baggage, because of this very reason, that number one, they don't believe he's that guy. And number two, they believe that he can go out and beat any one of these amazing quarterbacks and get to the Super Bowl and win it. That's what this is all about.
Yeah. These quarterback matchups are, I mean, like you said, Mary Kay, Ashley, he can go beat Josh Allen. Like can single-handedly go beat Josh Allen. This is why there's not some big, this is why you do it, right? This wasn't some like, oh, they were sitting there and plotting and, this is some smarter than everyone move. This was just, hey, this guy's really good and he can go beat these elite quarterbacks, so we're going to give up a whole bunch of draft picks and pay him a bunch of money.
Yeah.
And take the PR hit because he can be that guy.
This was my backup idea, Dan. So good storyline. So first of all, and second of all, I was going to make a joke about you leaving Carson Wentz off that list, but we're past that. But no, I mean, this is a quarterback league, right? This is what it's about. And how many discussions have we had in recent weeks about how stacked the AFC now is with quarterbacks? It's tough. It's going to be tough to make a Super Bowl run and do all that stuff. And the division is tough. And these are some really potentially good matchups if Deshaun Watson is playing in them. And it's why the Browns did what they did. It's why they gave up as much as they did, despite all the baggage that comes along with him and the uncertainty. And it's why they gave up all that money, because it is a quarterback-driven league, and these are some quarterback-driven matchups that the Browns have this year if Deshaun Watson's playing in them.
Yeah, Scott, I'm looking at – I wanted to go back and reference this game in 2019, and it was the playoffs from 2020, obviously, that year. Deshaun Watson took the Texans to Kansas City and got them ahead 24-0, throwing to the likes of Kenny Stills and Darren Fells. And
I remember that.
That was it was an impressive performance. Obviously, they didn't hold on. Kansas City turned into Kansas City quickly and ended up winning that game by 20 points. But that's the potential Deshaun Watson brings.
Yeah. But I mean, look, Justin Herbert didn't beat Baker Mayfield last season. He beat a Browns defense that had some really serious issues with defending deep passes. You know, I'm more concerned about how Deshaun Watson is going to do against the Chargers defense this year. How is he going to do against the Bills defense? I mean, yeah, you want to keep up with Josh Allen and Justin Herbert and Tom Brady. But now Deshaun Watson is going into these games, at least we expect him to, with a really good defense. Like if that defense starts off this year the way it ended last season, that just gives him a leg up in winning those matchups. So now it's on him to get the offense to a place where they can beat a Chargers defense that made a lot of big time changes, beat a Bills defense, the Ravens, you know, the Steelers are always good. So, you know, these quarterbacks that the Browns could face this year, I like their chances just based on how they ended last year and the additions they did make on defense so far. And if you add Clowney to that, again, you've really gotten yourself back to a place, at least on paper, that's really close to what you had last season. So that's good. But yeah, what he can do against those defenses, that's where that was kind of the Browns' downfall last year. And not so much defending those quarterbacks.
All right, Mary Kay, I want to hear what your other, what the storyline you passed on was.
Yeah, the one that I passed on was really just Deshaun Watson and the Cleveland Browns versus Joe Burrow and the Bengals. Joe Burrow took the Cincinnati Bengals to the Super Bowl. They went out this offseason. They beefed up their offensive line. So now they've got a much better offensive line. But the Browns kicked their butts in that game, 41-16. And the Browns defensive backs matched up really well, shut down Ja'Marr Chase. They matched up really well against their excellent receivers. They rattled that whole offense. And now the Browns defense, as Scott was just mentioning, is that much better. They are that much better. I mean, all these young guys that were thrown out there last year for their first seasons, they're going to be a lot better this year. JOK will be better. Greg Newsom will be better. Grant Delpit will be better. Then they went out and they got Alex Wright. And I think he's going to make an impact. They're probably going to re-sign Jadeveon. So, you know, I just think this matchup between Joe Cool and now Deshaun Watson and the Cleveland Browns and that defense. And I just think it's going to be probably the one to watch in the AFC North. But I mean, once again, you can never really count out the Ravens because they should be way healthier and way better. But there's just something about Joe Burrow. We talked about Dan. Remember, you kidded around about, you know, when you did the schedule game last year, you said, oh, this should be quite the matchup.
I said Baker Mayfield versus Joe Burrow is going to be fun to watch for years to
come. Fun to watch for years to come. Well, now it's Deshaun Watson versus Joe Burrow for years to come. And this one really will be fun to watch. So, this is going to be one that I will have my eye too, that I will have my eye on.
I had this on my list. This is one that I'm going to put in the story I'm writing, because I think this is a really fascinating matchup, because the Bengals are built to throw the football, right? They run it. Zach Taylor comes from that Sean McVay school. It's that 11 personnel. They spread it out. They throw the football all over the place. And the Browns are built to defend the pass. And I think we saw that sort of on display in that game this year or last year when the Browns won 41-16. And I looked up some stuff. So Joe Burrow has thrown multiple interceptions in his career in four games. That was the only time he didn't throw a touchdown pass in those games. So the Browns not only intercepted him multiple times, but they kept him out of the end zone, even amidst a blowout. He didn't even get like a cheap touchdown out of it. Let's see here. There was one other thing here about his rating. Oh, the Browns have sacked Burrow more than any other team in the NFL. The Ravens are second on that list. Obviously, you would expect AFC North teams to be on that list. And Burrow's one of his lowest rated games came against the Browns. Mm-hmm. So, and it was all kind of that game last year, you know, because Joe Burrow played really well in his first game against the Browns, and he played really well in that second game in 2022. And, you know, also probably would have, if he would have had 30 more seconds, the Bengals might have stolen that game from the Browns. Mm-hmm. But what they did to him last season was like, oh, okay, this team might, there's a chance this team might just match up really well with Cincinnati. So that I want to see if that's true or if that ends up being an aberration.
I think you guys are missing the boat here. The Evan McPherson versus Cade York. That are you telling me that's not going to be a storyline? The only two kickers drafted in the last 2 years. That's we're going to be talking about that one.
Fog game counterparts. We'll be talking
about that one.
Fog game counterparts.
Yeah.
You're right. Evan McPherson's revenge.
Yes. Now, you know, I actually think that Joe Burrow is a major reason why the Browns went out and upgraded a quarterback. I think they looked and they saw that if Joe Burrow sticks around in Cincinnati, and of course, Cincinnati will do everything they can to make that happen. If he's there for that next decade, they knew that they had to have a better quarterback. They were not going to win the AFC North and get where they wanted to go and get past Joe Burrow in particular and other quarterbacks to Lamar Jackson. But I think Joe and what he was able to do in only his first full season, I just think it's remarkable.
Maybe that's why they paid Deshaun $230 million too and guaranteed it, just to like put some pressure on Cincinnati and say, all right, now you guys have to pay Joe Burrow you have to pay him $300 million guaranteed. And we know that they're efficient, not cheap. Yes. They're efficient.
Right.
Okay. Does anybody else have anything? Are we good? Are those all of our scheduled storylines? Or somebody sitting on one that they just absolutely
I do have a second one. And
hear it.
We lumped the Panthers in with the Deshaun Watson stuff, but let's not forget Rashard Higgins, starting wide receiver, Carolina Panthers. We've established that the Browns hated Rashard Higgins. They also have Austin Corbett, who has his own little storyline of not really being wanted here. And last but not least, Zane Gonzalez just kicked out the door after one season and one game. He made 90% of his kicks last year for the Panthers. Imagine if they just stuck with him for another year or two.
Worked
through it. You know, I don't know. I think, and if Baker Mayfield ends up there, oh.
Do they still have Cam Irving?
I think so. And if Baker doesn't end up there, then they potentially will be going against the quarterback that they passed on number one in 2018 in Sam Darnold.
And don't forget, we'll all be crashing at the apartment of one Ellis Williams.
Yes.
That week.
Yep.
All right. Scott, any more? I read the Texans roster. Do you want to read the Panthers roster before?
No, I did not see Cam Irvin on there. I think those are the only guys who were starters. I'm not going through the Justin Burris. There you go. That's a deep cut.
There we go. Wow.
He's playing there.
All right. He can intercept Baker Mayfield in a scrimmage, doesn't he? Wasn't he the guy that did that all the time? I don't know. Now we're going. All right, that's enough. We gotta call this a podcast. Make sure you're subscribed wherever you listen to your podcasts on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and also make sure you're a Football Insider subscriber. Cleveland.com/Browns, the blue banner at the top of the page. For Mary Kay, Scott, and Ashley, I'm Dan. Thanks for listening, everybody.